Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 24th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XVII, the foreword to the second edition, and we're starting with that last paragraph, paragraph 4. With the appearance of the new book, ending with unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. So we'll be reading through and commenting on those three paragraphs. Today's readers are Susan H. for the 12 steps. I'm sorry, Lisa J.R. for the 12 steps, Susan H. for the 12 traditions, Kathy Jo P. is the reader of the text along with John K. And the share ID for Sunday, December 23rd, is 12,331. That's 12331. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 12,333. 12333. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Lisa J.R. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, Kathleen, and happy holidays, everybody. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, Pass.
Thank you, Lisa. And Susan H., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning. This is Susan H. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Susan H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XVII, the bottom of the page there, the fourth paragraph, with the appearance of the new book. We'll be reading through three paragraphs, ending with unify our fellowship or pass off the scene.
And now you should know, can't be beat.
On these three paragraphs only. So as soon as Leia fixes that, Kathy Jo P. will have you start reading. Okay, sounds good. Go ahead, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P. Do I come out okay or am I muffled?
You sound fine.
Oh, great. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis, in Mexico. With the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the noted clergyman, reviewed it with approval. In the fall of 1939, Fulton Orsler, then editor of Liberty, printed a piece in his magazine called Alcoholics and God. This brought a rush of 800 frantic inquiries into the Little New York office, which meanwhile had been established. Each inquiry was painstakingly answered. Pamphlets and books were sent out. Businessmen traveling out of existing groups were referred to these prospective newcomers. New groups started up, and it was found, to the astonishment of everyone, that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well as by word of mouth. By the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. In the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller Jr. gave a dinner for many of his friends, to which he invited AA members to tell their stories. News of this got on the world wires. Inquiries poured in again, and many people went to the bookstore to get the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. By March 1941, the membership had shot up to 2,000. Then Jack Alexander wrote a feature article in the Saturday Evening Post and played such a compelling picture of AA before the general public that alcoholics in need of help really deluged us. By the close of 1941, AA numbered 8,000 members. The mushrooming process was in full swing. AA had become a national institution. Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. The test that it faced was this. Could these large numbers of erstwhile erratic alcoholics successfully meet and work together? Would there be quarrels over membership, leadership, and money? Would there be striving for power and prestige? Would there be schisms which would split AA apart? Soon AA was beset by these very problems on every side and in every group. But out of this frightening and at first disrupting experience, the conviction grew that AAs had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. Alright, well, in many ways I don't feel qualified to talk about this because it's a lot about history and a lot about the traditions and interpreting of the text. But I do know some things, and one thing I know is that this book was almost called A Way Out, and I was a, I guess I'm going to call myself a religious fanatic in 1980 to 1985, and I did learn a couple things from that, and one thing I learned is that sometimes I was the only Bible anyone could read. And I do know in this program, we have the book and we do read the text and every single word is powerful in here and every single word can be read over and over again with more meat to it. But at the same time, the Bible is all about love one another and love God and love yourself. And this book is all about love and tolerance and service and letting go of the things that we're allergic to and helping others, like I just said, service. But yet again, every single word in here is powerful and we keep going back to it. And literally, in my opinion, everything that I need is in this book. I did a lot of things before I came in, whether it was food plans or healers or gurus or metaphysical or, you know, mindfulness or therapy and childhood work, et cetera, et cetera. But what I keep learning is the more I keep drawing near to God, which is mentioned many times in this book, and working this program and helping others, the more the changes keep happening for me and for those around me. And I also know that the traditions that were just read, every single one of them has so much wisdom and meat and thought into them that it is so obvious to me that God inspires each and every part of that. I'm a part of another fellowship, and we are changing some of the meat of our group. And at first, when it was first brought up, there was much disturbance and reaction. But I saw as we all clung to the traditions and being of service and doing the love and acceptance and tolerance, we are becoming back on one page. And that is how we can stay in these rooms together and be of service and keep working this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Okay, so a reminder, we are on page XVII, that last paragraph beginning with the appearance of the new book, and we'll be reading through three paragraphs. So who would like to comment on those three paragraphs?
Susan H.
Susan H.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
John K.
Okay, I heard John K. And who was after John K.?
Wendy M.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Wendy M.
Person? I got Wendy M.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, we will stop there. So I have Susan H., Julie E.B., John K., Wendy M., and Patty T. So go ahead, Susan H.
Good morning. This is Susan H., recovered compulsive overeater at Ohio, and I'm grateful to be able to share this morning. As I'm not really an expert on AA history, what speaks to me is that we had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. It just so happens I got to read the traditions, and it points to the tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Okay. The group must survive or the individual will not, it says. Or in the long version from AA 12 and 12, it says that. Today I'm being shown life on life's terms means that discomfort comes and goes. It certainly does. We have clear-cut directions to deal with our discomfort and disturbances, and we must deal with our disturbance, trust our higher power for the outcome to be His will, and share with our group our experience, strength, and hope so we survive as a group and as recovered individuals. I'm grateful for the clear-cut directions. They have pulled me out of the fire again and again. And I'm grateful for this group to just to help me. So thank you all for being here, and I will pass.
And thank you, Susan H. So Julie E.B., you are up next, followed by John K.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God. Me a little by surprise. I was going to sneak off. I am so grateful with the appearance of this new book. Wow, was this book to me in the many decades later was a new book that appeared. And in addition to that, not only was it a new book that appeared, but when this new meeting appeared, this other medium of communication that's available to us, with this Vision for You meeting, it just started something so new in my life. I'm so grateful today. I was in the food in every way you could be in the food. It had led me to every stage of desperation. As I said before, I was 300 pounds. I was bedbound. I was dying. I had six medical specialists, and I was like an animal. I would just scream out in pain. And it's such a miracle that when I came into the rooms of OA, I was greeted with love. When I met a sponsor in those rooms that had been recovered through Vision, she had that light in her eyes. And instead of being hopeless, as someone mentioned on the earlier meeting, I could come to understand that there could be hope. And I'm a person who is an addict. So I get into all sorts of behavior. No wonder there were schisms. No wonder there were problems. No wonder. I personally had to make an amends to the meeting. After a business meeting of my 12-step fellowship last Sunday, I realized in my 11th step with my partner through this program that I had become unduly disturbed. And in making that apology to the group the next time it met last night, it was like, wow, we're on this road together. And I could watch that schism. The person had hardly looked at me through the meeting. I could watch that schism begin to heal. And so keep working these steps. Keep getting in this book. And just be willing. I don't have all the answers. I am not God. I do not know what's best for other people. And most of the time, I don't know what's best for me. When I remember that, my life is smoother. I learned that in a sister fellowship
but it so applies to the way my disease tries to get back in during the holidays. I don't have to be God today. God can do God's job, and I can enjoy and appreciate the flawed and broken people around me. They're flawed and broken just like me. And as my God loves and forgives me, I can love and forgive others. And it's just beginning. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B. John K., followed by Wendy M. Go ahead, John.
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, I realized as I was reading this that this was really the first AA history lesson, because the forward to the second edition came out in 1955. And when I just went to look up, you know, the first AA history book, the AA Comes of Age, didn't come out until 57, and then Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, heck, that's come out during my time in program. But before then, I guess people just sort of, well, how did it start, and this and that? And it's just sort of been interesting that the first time they laid out some of this. Of course, it goes into a lot more detail in the other books. And it has, you know, one of the things, and it's, I think it was mentioned, I don't know if it was mentioned here, but that Jack Alexander, this guy, was an investigative reporter and really went into this thing going, okay, I got to figure out what this scam is, and then walked out convinced. In a lot of ways, it was the same as me. You know, I came, okay, what do these guys want? And then I realized, God, they're not asking for money. They're not asking. And that made a huge difference to me. And in terms of the link from AA to OA, I always say there is an actual direct link from AA to OA other than the steps and the traditions. And that is that Bill's sponsor was a guy named Father Ed Dowling. He wasn't in program, but he was a man of the cloth and who helped them. And Father Ed wrote in the AA Grapevine, which is their version of Lifeline, in July 1960, which is ironic because that's just like 6 months after OA started, that he, while he wasn't an alcoholic, had a problem with food. And this article, let me see if I can find this here. He said he had gotten up to 240 pounds, and the doctor advised me of a total AA abstinence from starch, butter, salt, and sugar. He said these four foods were probably my, quote, alcohol, and then abstinence was so much easier than temperance. The reason I bring that up is this was sort of the beginning of this thing called Gray Sheet that came about, where people really believed no carbs, no sugar, period. And then there was also the Orange Sheet, where people believed in more moderate mealing kind of thing. And it's so funny that there was this early schism of that. In fact, my friend did a musical for the birthday party 1 year where they did a takeoff on West Side Story that did the Gray Sheeters versus the Orange Sheeters. But we have this schism ourselves with food programs, and it's sad, you know, that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, programs broke away because OA wasn't doing it right. OA was too inclusive, and they needed to do this, and they needed it. And it's so frustrating to me because the underlying thing on all these programs, and there's a lot. I wrote an article for an outside website a couple of years ago about all the different ones that are out there and what their differences was. And I was just so frustrated because they all used 12 steps. Everything else is sort of minutia. You know, why is what you're doing working for you? Great. You can eat sugar and flour. God bless you. I can't. But okay, if it's working and you're not, if you're maintaining a healthy body weight, okay, it's fine. And it's so sad. I wish we had gotten there. But I can also understand, one quick last thing, AA didn't have anything but sobriety. Imagine if AA had a sobriety where some people drank beer and some didn't. They would have had the same schism. So I do understand how it came about. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, John K. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Patty T.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And I just want to say it's so great to be on the line, and it's so great to be connected to you guys because, again, it's just another Monday, right? It's not, what is it, Christmas Eve or something. It may be, but for me, I have to know that it's another Monday that I get to be on the line with you guys, and that's going to save me today, so it's great. So it says, with the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. For 15 years, I was in OA. I read this book, but I had no idea what it was saying. But the minute I worked with someone, a vision for you, 2.5 years ago, a great deal began to happen immediately for me in reading each word, each page with my sponsor. and that was a spiritual experience. And this book is definitely, for me, divinely inspired. So a great deal began to happen. And then I want to focus on the word unity. It says here, we had to unify a fellowship, so, or pass off the scene. And for me, unity was about, like, that's not going to work for me because it's not about me, right? Because everything had to be about Wendy. I had to be the center of attention. I had in a group to break apart and be seen. If I wasn't seen, right, you guys, attention and applause were my oxygen, and I had to be different from you. And I thought I had to have all of that attention. And it turns out that not only I don't have to have all that attention, but thank God it's not about me. Thank God I can remember that something somebody said on Saturday at a meeting, we submerge the ego for the sake of the group. We submerge my ego for the sake of the group. Do you know how, what a relief that is? You know, it's such a, oh my God, thank God. You know, I have to repeat that constantly. You know, that the unity is more important. But more to the point is when I submerge my ego, I get to be unblocked and I get to be with God. You know, and that's, you know, that's an amazing experience. And the other thing I wanted to say is tonight I'm going to be going to my boyfriend's home for this dinner, and his ex-wife will be there and his kids. And, you know, my go-to before I call you guys, write about it and pray to God, is how am I going to come across? Will I look okay? Will I be okay? Will they like me? Can I people please them up the wazoo? So that's my first thought. So my second thought is, oh my God, this isn't about me at all. Tonight has nothing to do with me. This is their shtick. I get to just come and say, what can I bring to the occasion? What does the group need? And maybe just the group needs for me to listen to them, for me to observe the beauty of their tradition, of what they're doing this evening. You know, that's all. And the minute I'm there, I'm in God's world. The minute I say, it's not about Wendy tonight. I don't have to be the center of attention. I don't have to sulk if people aren't asking me questions. What about me, me, me? So I'll just finish by saying God is or God isn't. And for today, God is. And I get to be in the light, and then I get to shine it, all that light, on these people. Thank you.
And thank you, Wendy M. And just a reminder, we're on page XVII. That last sentence, the bottom paragraph, beginning with the appearance of the new book, reading through three paragraphs. So, Patty T., you're up next, and after Patty T., we'll be taking some more names. So, go ahead, Patty.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for your service, moderator. It's Monday, and I'm on vacation, and part of my vacation itinerary is to attend this meeting. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm struck so much by the years noted in two of the three paragraphs here, where it says, new groups started up, and it was found to the astonishment of everyone that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well as by word of mouth. By the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. And then, only 2 years later, by the close of 1941, AA numbered 8,000 members. The mushrooming process was in full swing. AA had become a national institution. In 2 years, this membership grew from 800 to 8,000 members. And all who were desperate enough to want to stop drinking, you know, that's been my experience since this past April. You know, I've had the opportunity to find that gift of desperation and to turn it over to a higher power, and to turn into that power as opposed to keep trying to rely on my own will. And the recovery quotient has been tremendous. You know, I can look at my character defects today and not hate myself for them. I can make a resolution and a commitment and meet that at the end of the day when I'm reviewing my day, I realize, oh, goodness, I ate what I committed. I did what I committed. I'm showing up not only for myself but for others. And then it says here, our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. And the same is true with my recovery. You know, each time I enter a little bit deeper ring of that onion, right? I'm peeling off that onion. You know, I get a little fearful and a little hesitant, but also excited because I know that I have people to reach out to who understand and have been there and can direct me with the use of this book on how to open up my world. This is all about opening up my world to others and to God. And I can't say enough. Happy holidays, everybody, and I'll pass.
And thank you for your perfect timing, Patty T. Okay, we are on page XVII. The bottom of that page with the appearance of the new book, reading through three paragraphs, ending with Unifier Fellowship or Pass Off a Scene. And who else would like to share on those three paragraphs?
Hi, this is Daryl S. calling from Discovery Bay, California. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Okay, Daryl, hold on 1 second. I'm going to get a line up and then I'll come back to you. I've got your name.
Hi, Donna,
want to share
Donna W.
Donna W. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone who hasn't shared
Maggie
you would like
Rose
to share?
M.
Was that Rose M?
Maggie Rose M.
Maggie Rose, okay.
Yeah.
G-O-L? Was that Jill L?
G-O.
G-O. Okay, well, we will stop there. So Daryl S., followed by Donna W., Maggie Rose M., and Jill O., I'm not sure I'm getting your name correctly, but if everyone but Daryl S. could press star 1 to mute, and go ahead, Daryl.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Again, Daryl S. calling from Discovery Bay. It's the first time I spoke on this meeting. I'm so blessed to be on it. It was just something that I felt the vision meeting that I had heard so much about was something that I needed in my recovery today. Today's 3,234 days without sugar and flour, although no day is more important than day one and today. Although this is the eve of my very last bender, as you could call it, of Vicodin and marijuana and my favorite libation and compulsive eating on December 24th of 2009, from which the next day I began this incredible journey. I love today's reading because as a student of AA and the 12 steps in the first 4 or 5 years of my recovery, where I wanted to absorb as much as I could, and I was just very much interested in the history of Bill W. and Dr. Bob. And this morning, the speakers just did such a fine job with these three paragraphs, and I wanted to thank you for that. But it's been said that, had Dr. Bob had been, solely responsible for this program, it may not have ever left Akron. And had Bill W. been solely responsible for this program, it more than likely would have become a commercial endeavor. And, of course, as we know, commercial endeavors are wrought with problems. And it's also been said that on Dr. Bob's deathbed that he looked at Bill W. and said, please, don't, whatever you do, don't screw this up. And so I think that, by the grace of God and the divine intervention that Bill W. articulates in his story, that the heavy dependent upon the higher power portion or the element or component of our program is probably what led us to what's, you know, we refer to the steps as our pathway, but the traditions as our rail. And thank God for that, because the steps of this program allows us, for those that prescribe to the Lord's Prayer as a way of defining how to go about living a life free from baggage and making amends and taking personal inventory and having a relationship. But the traditions of the program that this reading this morning kind of defines or sets up is what keeps us from that, in my opinion, keeps us from that broken human condition. Again,
time,
the
please.
First tradition, thank you so much, the broken human condition that tradition one depends upon in terms of unity. So thank you so much again. God bless everyone. Enjoy the holidays and safe journeys to everyone.
And thank you, Daryl. So Donna W., you're up next, followed by Maggie Rose M. Go ahead, Donna.
Thank you, Kathleen O. and Team Monday. Happy Monday to everybody. This is Donna W. from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And just need to say I really need to use my higher power for ease and comfort today. I'm feeling been kind of wobbly this the last few days, and when I go wobbly, I also go into body image and feeling fat. I just want to turn over that's as much a part of my disease as the food is. So I'm praying to have some neutrality around my body, shape, size, and weight today. And I'm just so grateful for it's just amazing with how AA grew and how AA sticks around and how all the 12-step programs stick around. You know, my understanding is, the Oxford group was really popular and that faded off. And, I believe that because of the, intricacies of this program, where it's not just about spiritual faith, but it's about action. It's not just about putting down our alcoholic substance. It's about working a program of recovery. It's about working on the physical, mental, and spiritual. So there's some real depth and weight of our program. And then, of course, with the steps, we learn how to stop killing ourselves. And with the traditions, we learn how to not kill each other. So I just love how we have to hang together or die separately. We have to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. And somehow, some way, the beginning folks were able to create not just the 12 steps, but the 12 traditions so that we keep together. And, I really need you guys. I am really powerless. I try so much in my life to be perfect. And I realized lately, maybe I'm the perfect addict. That's the one thing in my life I can do perfectly is I am a perfect food addict. I am a junkie. I am perfect. And then, with that, I can admit utter defeat and make some space for my higher power. Because I don't know how to be a perfect weight. That messes with my head. I don't know how to do a perfect food plan. That messes with my head. For today, I can be a perfect addict and just lean into program, lean into my fellows, let go, let God, and just, I'm no longer running the show. I'm not running the holiday show. I'm not running my weight show, and I'm not running my food show or my family show. So just going to stay on my side of the road today. I'll stay on the path, and I've got the rails, and I've got you guys. And I would love some outreach calls. Donna W. in Palo Alto. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Donna W. So Maggie Rose M., it's your turn, followed by Jill O.
Okay. You can hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. This is actually the first time I've gotten on the line. I've been listening to these meetings for quite some time, so it's really nice to be on the line and have the courage to do that. I was thinking what the last speaker said about killing, that the steps are to keep us from killing ourselves, and the traditions are to keep us from killing each other. I noticed yesterday that I was at a church event, and could have been anywhere, any kind of program, I mean, any kind of presentation or anything. And I realized that I was sitting there kind of making judgments about different people, like that person didn't use the microphone properly, and that person this, and that person that. And I thought, what are you doing? And my judgmental part of me was so active. And that reminds me of this part about the unity, which isn't, you know, learning to work towards acceptance of each other and unity in our fellowship is such good practice for living in the world, and to stop that crazy judgmental voice that wants to keep operating in my head. And I thought of that partway through, and I thought, just stop it. And then I could really enjoy what was going on instead of being playing God there and trying to make it perfect according to my plans. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Maggie Rose M. Okay, I think it was Jill O, if you want to go ahead. And after that, we'll take some more names.
Hi there, it's G-O-L, actually.
G-O-L, thank you, sorry.
No, and actually after I said that, I realized, oh, I had changed my name, so it's actually G-O-B, but... So anyway, I am a gratefully recovered compulsive eater, happy to be here and sharing today. I kind of have really been enjoying everything that people have been saying and kind of relating on one level or another to what has been said. The thing I kind of wanted to share about today was that someone had just mentioned about trying to control holidays or being in control of the holiday show. And I came into the vision last year right around this time because of trying to control the holiday show. Just kind of had a meltdown, wound up a big, it was a disaster basically. And I kind of think that that was what had sort of pushed me to the end of my capacity to feel like I could run the show, and the need, that gift of desperation, I guess, feeling like I can't do this by myself. I had been in OA for a long time and sort of basically had relapsed, and sort of living away from the solution for a few years, and always in the back of my mind, I'd like, you know, occasionally go to a meeting or occasionally go to an online meeting or something like that, but really not what I would say working the program at all. So it was kind of like at that crux last year where I was like, okay, I think I'm done. I think I'm desperate enough to kind of reach out again. And someone else had talked about I forget the exact word he used, but he was talking about how there's so many different almost sects, S-E-C-T-S of OA. And I've actually heard people in a vision meeting say, you know, before they came to the vision, they weren't truly abstinent. Now, I personally don't believe that because I believe I was abstinent for many years in just regular OA. And it was just the choices I made that sort of I walked away from the solution. Vision did bring me back, though, so I'm super grateful for that. So, yeah, I think that if, you know, people are using the big book and the steps, then, you know, we're all just fellow travelers on the road to recovery, you know, and there doesn't need to be any judgment about that. As far as this year went, I think a couple months ago, I have been struggling a bit with some work-related stuff and people. And feel like I've lost a certain sense of serenity. So here comes Christmas again. And again, I walk right into the control the holidays mode, make it great for everyone. And yesterday I had a little bit of a meltdown. Then, you know, I was able to kind of pull out of it by taking some time aside and just like repeating to myself, let go and let God over and over again. And I was, anyway, I was able to surrender it, and which was a huge difference from last year. So I had a tiny meltdown this year, and I want to say I'm grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, G-O-L. Okay. Okay, and if we could, I can take another, I think we have time for one more, and to...
Linda D.
Was it Lydia B?
Linda D.
Oh, Linda D. Okay, why don't you go ahead, Linda?
Hi, this is Linda D. from Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I just want to say happy holidays to everybody, and just express my gratitude that y'all are still here. I've been off the lines, at least not talking on the meetings for a while, having had a loss of my mom this year. But this is just a wonderful program, and the fact that these people all this time ago made this program AA available to us, and the fact that it works for everything, all any monkey that's on our back, is just a blessing. It's the best blessing. It made a huge difference in my relationship with my mom and with all of the people in my life. Because we know, I think deep down, at least I know, that the problem, as one of our members says often, is not the food. The food is the solution. Alcohol is not the problem. Alcohol is the solution, whatever it is that the person is struggling with. The problem is the buildup of the everyday emotions that put us into a place, that put me into a place where I feel like I have to do something to change it. And so I have the steps to deal with that now, and it's carried me through. And the fact that I hear voices on here of people that were here 6 months ago when I last spoke, here 2.5 years ago, and all the newcomers that are on with us today just gives me a lot of hope for the coming year. So thank you, everyone, and have a blessed day. With that, I pass.
Kathleen, are you still with us?
No.
Well, sounds like that one is the last.
Yeah, did we lose the moderator?
I think we might have.
Okay.
Hang on just 1 second, group. Will we catch her?
Can you hear me?
Is this you, Kathleen?
You can't hear me, can you?
Yes, I can. Uh-huh.
Oh, you can hear me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now we
okay.
can.
Okay.
And Linda
sorry
just
about
finished,
that.
And so we're ready to transition. Or whatever you'd like
okay.
to do next.
Okay, sorry. New phone, sorry, I'll get used to it eventually. Okay, so thank you everyone for your great shares, and we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And John Kay, would you please read a vision for you?
I'd be happy to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.